Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics. The national title matchup is set, and what a coincidence. It's the only two teams that beat Ohio State this year. Welcome to the Austin and Berm Show. It is The Beat, presented by the Waterworks, and it's Monday, so it's a Bourne Blitz. So I ask you, Zach Bourne, does it make you feel any better that the only two teams left beat the Buckeyes? Does that improve your mood or make it worse as you evaluate the end of the 2025 season for Ohio State?
Well, if you're a glass half full kind of person and positive, you could definitely say losing to the two best teams in the country outside of yourselves says a lot about your team, says a lot about what you did. Now, on the flip side, if you're a glass half full kind of person, which I think most of Twitter is nowadays, and a bunch of fans with the expectations of what needs to be done, you obviously are upset, pissed off, because when you look at those two losses and the way that you lost those games, you could have easily won both of them. So I think leaving the season knowing, hey, the two teams that are playing for the national championship are teams that Ohio State could have beaten, should have beaten, probably puts a sour taste in your mouth, you know, for those kinds of people. From my standpoint, it leaves you wanting a little bit more, but at the same time, I think it Ohio State's not going to win the national championship every single year, right? We talked about this on the show. We talked about it as the season went along. The expectations going into this year were very low after the Max exodus that you had after last year. As the season started to ramp up, and especially after week one beating Texas, the expectations were probably around the Illinois game. Hey, this team needs to win it all. They're the best team in the country, maybe the best team, since the 2002 Miami team, whatever, right? The list went on and on with the comparisons. And it doesn't do the team any justice when you put that pressure and put those comparisons and those expectations on them. From my standpoint, guess what? You played a hell of a year. I think looking back, you obviously beat the team up north and did that. Would you have loved to win the Big Ten championship game in Indy? Yes, it's a game that you should have won, could have won. If Julian Sain doesn't go down on a knee on a 4th-and-1, right? Like, that was a very easily first down. If he doesn't do that, you probably win the football game. If you can make a 27-yard field goal, you probably win that football game, right? But even with that aside, then you go into the college football playoff where obviously things are ramped up and you play a Miami team who had a lot of momentum, but the way that you got beat is almost like you beat yourself. I think that's what everyone's thinking, is that the two games to end the year, both being losses, it just put a bad taste in their mouth. From my standpoint, would I have loved for them to win the quarterfinal game? They go make the semifinals. Guess what? Whatever happens there would have been great, right? I probably would have viewed that as a bigger success and would have met my expectations rather than losing in the quarterfinals like they did against Miami. But again, like I said, you can't have the expectation that this team is going to win the national championship every year. And what you have to look for, Austin, which I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about many times leading up to the 2026 season, is the amount of talent that this Ohio State team is bringing back. And God forbid, I know the everyone's going in the portal and everything else, but if you look at the starting 22 of what Ohio State had against Miami and what they're bringing back at those positions, it is damn competitive. It is, talent-wise, probably one of the top two, three, or four teams in the country when you look at the starting 22 talent. So I'm excited for what 26 brings. I think, you know, anytime you get punched in the mouth to end the season, it adds a little bit of motivation and fuel to your offseason workouts. And I'm sure Ryan Day will touch on that, as kind of the offseason goes along.
Yeah. I mean, I think both of those ideas can be true, Zach, right? That you can have an appreciation, a healthy appreciation, and maybe even an enhanced appreciation for me about the quality of Indiana and Miami as they've gone through this college football playoff, and certainly the way Indiana has just absolutely taken apart Alabama and Oregon. That makes me think that 13-10 game was even better than it was, and more competitive and tougher and hard fought than we realized in the first week of December. Miami, same sort of deal with their comeback there against Ole Miss. But, you know, it doesn't mean that it changes the fact that Ohio State had multiple opportunities to put together a better offensive game plan or better execution or whatever else. I still view those games as ones that Ohio State lost more than Indiana or Miami won. And we can all, you know, have different opinions and takes on that and different perspectives. Doesn't mean that I don't think that those teams are good. But it does validate exactly what you're saying, that Ohio State had all the pieces in place to make this run, which definitely exceeded what we thought was possible 6 months ago.
Yeah, you're spot on. And I think the way that you've seen Indiana manhandle Alabama and Oregon, thinking back to that 13-10 game, you're kind of like, damn, you know, that was a much tougher matchup than we all thought going into it. But two, even with how bad we thought Ohio State played, they played a damn good football game to only lose that game 13-10, right? And so I don't think – two things. I don't think we – back then we gave Indiana enough credit for how good they were. And two, I don't think we gave Ohio State enough credit for how good they played in that game, even though the eye test looked less than ideal. The other thing that we can bring up and this is probably the biggest I don't want to say question mark, but probably the biggest letdown in those games is after the Michigan game, we thought this offense was clicking on all cylinders. With the way the defense was playing, you tell this offense, like, hey, go out and score 21 points, you're going to win any game in the college football playoff, including the national title. And for the offense to play the way they did against Indiana and then the way they did against Miami, I think that's the most disappointing part, right? And especially you look at the quarterback position. And I know Julian Sain is a young quarterback who's still learning a lot. But, man, it's kind of like those two games were the time for you to shine. Like, that's when big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. Coaches say that time and time and time again. And when the moment was big and a big-time play needed to be made, Julian just didn't make the play. And I think you just leave those two games and you leave the season almost scratching your head with question marks about Julian Sain and what kind of player he is, even though you look at his makeup of the 12 regular season games, you'd be like, damn, he broke a record for all-time, completion percentage in college football. And you think about everything that he did, but it just leaves you wanting more. And it leaves you having question marks about what does a Julian Sain-led football team look like in 2026 when you're going to have a lot of those big moments, right? Let's talk about it. You go to Texas, you got Oregon at home. You've got obviously Michigan at home. You go to USC, you go to Iowa, you got Illinois at home, right? Like, God, the list goes on and on, Austin, here's another one. You go to Indiana, right? Like, come on. Like, the list goes on and on about the games and the high-quality matchups that this Ohio State team's going to have in 26. And how's Julian going to respond in those games? When you get punched in the mouth, right, are you going to come out swinging? Are you going to come out with that dog mentality? Or are you going to come out and still try and be kind of cool, poised, not much urgency? Like, I think that's the biggest thing that people have question marks about.
Yeah, and that's also why my brain is in a blender talking about this national title matchup, Zach, because how many times have you heard me be skeptical or just outright criticize Carson Beck? And he's making those veteran plays. He is not considered a dual threat quarterback, but he is winning games, including against Ohio State, with his legs. That's the part where I think Julian Sain is going to have to maybe take those strides. We can talk about leadership and intensity and all those things that like you're going to grow into over time. But, you know, Carson Beck, understanding the play that he is in, the defense that he's facing, and finding an escape hatch has won him two playoff games in a row here. You know, I wouldn't give him the credit for that against Texas A&M, but certainly against Ohio State and against Ole Miss, that was true. And then you look at everything that has happened in the transfer portal coming and going for Ohio State over the last 10 days. And suddenly we're in a world where it's like, you know, what the Buckeyes need to do is like Indiana's got this roster building thing figured out with veteran players and fulfilling that, you know, filling out their roster that way. It's like suddenly these two teams that beat Ohio State are like opening up a window for things that they have to do. And it's Carson Beck and it's Indiana, two people that I've never thought we'd be talking about.
No, you never thought you'd be talking about. And it's so wild. In this day and age of college football, you look at last year's Ohio State team. You have Will Howard at quarterback, who spent 4 years at Kansas State, did some really good things, but not much star power, you know, kind of a gritty player, did what needed to be done. And you look at this year's national championship game with Carson Beck and Fernando Mendoza. Carson Beck may have been a little bit more flashier at Georgia, but definitely his last year at Georgia was a roller coaster up and down. But you see a veteran quarterback who's kind of gritty, who's doing what he needs to do, not a dual threat quarterback, but running when he needs to run, making big plays when he needs to. You look at Fernando Mendoza, again, an older quarterback who spent time at Cal, no flashiness to him, but got some grittiness to him. And so you think of college football nowadays and you think of high dollar quarterbacks and you think of, you know, this NIL and you think of star power and you think of what all these guys bring to a program when you sign a guy who's, you know, a top 20 player in the portal. But you're looking at these guys and you're like, man, there wasn't much star power behind them, right? No one was throwing their hands up in the air a year from now when Carson Beck committed to Miami and Fernando Mendoza committed to Indiana. No one was like, oh, my God, they're the national championship favorites, you know? And so everyone now is wanting a big splash for Ohio State and saying like, oh, my God, where's the star power? We're losing all these guys, but where's the Quinshon Judkins, right? Where's the Caleb Downs, right? Like the list goes on with some of the star power. You don't always need the star power, man. A lot of times you need guys who are going to fit that program. And I almost think about last year's team. And yes, you had Quinshon Judkins and Travion and, you know, Emeka and Jeremiah, the Carnell, right? And Caleb Downs on defense. You still had all those guys. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's a quarterback game. We all know that. And we obviously saw it with Ohio State. The reason why we're sitting in the position we are is because the quarterback didn't make the plays when he needed to make them. And so you have to be able to form your roster to be able to maximize the output that you get from every player. And sometimes the guys that lead you to the promised land aren't the star power guys, the flashy signings or people like that. And so I know I'm coming full circle with my comment there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a direction of you see what teams are super successful at the end of this year, and you relate that to where those signings were last year and what Ohio State's doing in the transfer portal. And some of these signings that might not be the most flashiest or the most glorious might come back a year from now, and people might be saying, that's what helped us win a national championship, or that's what helped us get to the national championship game.
Yeah, no, I agree. The game is changing, and seasons are changing as well, Zach, but comfort doesn't. So call the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for maintenance, installation, and repairs, or visit online at thewaterworks.com. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. So everything you talked about there with the moves that the Buckeyes are making, you know, trying to bring in more transfer portal pickups, that process, I think, was ramped up in some of the urgency over the weekend. We know that the number of departures is huge. I'll just say it this way. What is your level of concern or frustration with the way this is going? I know that people get tired of, you know, hearing, well, Ohio State is pretty confident that they have a plan to address it. And you look at it from the outside and you just say, well, what is it? Because this is a huge number of players that are on the way out. And my vantage point is like, that is the way that it has to be. in this new era that you're going towards NFL style rosters, and you're not going to be able to keep 84 and five stars on your roster the way Ohio State may have been used to. But as you're looking at it and with your understanding of what's going on inside the Woody, how much concern do you actually have at this moment?
So you ask kind of a loaded question.
I know. I'm sorry.
Multiple layers to this. I'll start with the easy one. How worried am I with what's going on in the transfer portal? Zero. None. I am not worried at all. I've gotten into my fair share of Twitter wars with people who think the world is falling from that standpoint. Not worried one bit. There are so many things that are happening behind the scenes, things that are going to happen. Some of these kids, guess what, are leaving, not because probably of their wish, but maybe because of Ohio State. And Ohio State has brutally honest conversations with every player at the end of the year. And some of those conversations literally are, hey, this isn't the best place for you. You need to go into the portal and find somewhere else to kind of take your career. And sometimes those aren't bottom feeder guys on the roster. Sometimes those might be second team guys who don't fit the mold. Their mindset doesn't fit what Ohio State's trying to do. They're not program type of guys, right? And so I'll leave it at that, that the max exodus of players compared to what Ohio State's brought in so far does not bother me one bit, to be honest. It's my standpoint and the knowledge that I have, a lot of it was predicted. Like they knew it was coming. Nothing has really been, out of the ordinary for them. This I will say, in regards to the transfer portal, it irritates me because the expectations of players, of agents, of entourages, of uncles, of parents, of friends, of all these people that represent these players, their expectations of reality could not be farther off from what they actually are right now in college football. And I think everyone knows there's a huge issue. There needs to be a governing body. There needs to be rules and guidelines and all kinds of things, right? But aside from that, the valuations that some of these players put on themselves, whether it be themselves, their agents, like I said, parents, aunts, uncles, whoever it might be, are not real. You know, it goes back to little Johnny, the six-year-old, and we've all been around it. Their parent thinks they're the next Shohei Ohtani or Tom Brady, whoever it is, right? Like, even though a player's at Ohio State or at another big-time college doesn't mean that that stuff isn't still real, right? Like, there are players there that parents and agents think their player's a first-round draft pick, and to be honest, they're probably never going to play in the NFL. Right. And so you still deal with those things. Ryan Day is still dealing with those things. There are some guys that, guess what, are going to go in the portal and have an idea of their value of what they're worth, and they're not going to get anywhere close to it. It's the reason why we've seen so many players. There's thousands of players in the portal. Yeah. Not everyone even gets signed. Right. They're leaving their college thinking that someone's going to offer them a lucrative deal. And there's times that teams don't even sign guys. Right. Like, they're not even get on a play football anymore. Let alone get more money than what they think they're worth. So Ohio State has tons of firepower behind them. Ohio State has a game plan. Ohio State has the best GM in the country, Mark Pantone. And that's just not my opinion. Guess what? It was voted by all of college football. All these people want to say fire Mark Pantone. Mark Pantone needs to get out of there. I don't think people realize it was just in August he was voted GM of the year. And that's voted by the rest of college football, right? Like, those are people that actually know what goes on behind the scenes, and they voted Mark Pantone as the best. So,
well, I think too, Zach, we can make one thing very clear. Mark Pantone is not ever going to be fired at Ohio State.
No, he's the best there is in the country. There are people, I know this for a fact. Mark Pantone gets job offers every single year and gets offered a lot of money to go there. And he stays at Ohio State because guess what? He loves Ohio State, and Ohio State would not be where they are now. Okay. I will leave it at that. They have a detailed game plan. They have an idea of the way this direction, this team in 2026 is going to look like, the direction that they're going. I have a feeling some news is going to break soon of some good stuff. All those people that are seeing the world's falling can celebrate some signings. But then again, it goes back to what I said. Not every signing needs to be a flashy, oh my God, all-American type of signing like a Caleb Downs or Quinshon Judkins, because there's going to be some guys that Ohio State signs that are going to be dudes for this team in 26.
Yeah, and I certainly understand Ohio State fans and Ohio State media not wanting to be patient and let it play out. But, you know, more times than not, the Buckeyes tend to get it right. And a lot of that is because of what you're talking about exactly there, Zach, with Mark Pantone and Ryan Day. You know, they have to execute the plan. Like, that goes back to the losses against Indiana and against Miami as well. Like, it's great to have one. They have to follow through. We'll see if they will, because this is a huge week for it. And by the time we get to next Monday and another Boren Blitz and that transfer portal window is closed, I think we're going to have a lot more to talk about. So
this is one more thing I'll say, Austin. Yeah. Sorry, just leave it this.
Oh, you're good.
Everyone's freaking out about these guys that are leaving in the portal. I'm a firm believer in the scholarship guys that you have on a team. Every player wants to get paid six figures plus, right? And it's not just 100 grand. Guys, you know, guys are wanting 250, 300 just to, as incoming freshmen. And those guys are third string, sometimes fourth string, right? What I think, you start doing that math, that adds up to a lot of cash, guys, right? So I think Ohio State's going to take the model of, guess what? If you're a third string guy and we don't think you're going to be in the two deep, or you might be a special teams contributor, but you're not going to contribute, you know, to the core 11. Guess what? We're going to bring in some other Ohio bred blue collar kid who loves Ohio State, who wants to be at Ohio State, that will run down on kickoff and want to smash some dudes' faces in, like a Nate Ebner, like a Craig Fada, like a Joe Berger, like those guys who are proud to have the block go on their chest and don't need paid. They just want to make the memories of running down on kickoff and freaking stone cold someone right in the freaking chest, right? Yeah. Like, that's what they're going to do. And so then you're going to take about 45 guys, which is half of your scholarships, and you're going to pay those guys. And to your point, it's an NFL style roster where, guess what? Those guys are going to get paid a very good going rate, what the top of the line position players get paid at their position. And that's what they're going to do. But those other 45, they're not going to get paid much. And so you have, what, 27 guys, I think, as of this morning, 28 maybe, are in the transfer portal. Those guys are part of that bottom 45 that weren't going to play. And so Ohio State said, hey, see ya. We're going to take our top 45, pay them like they're the best in the country, and we're going to find some other dudes who care so much about the state of Ohio and Ohio State, and we're going to fill out our roster with those type of guys.
That's right. That's the plan. That's the blueprint. We'll see if Ohio State can go execute that. Feels like as we're sitting here right now, there's a pretty good chance of that happening, but we'll monitor that on the week ahead. During this week ahead on the Austin and Berm Show, every day on the beat, which is brought to you by the Waterworks. Love kicking it off on a Monday with Zach Boren and a Boren Blitz. He's down there enjoying that great weather in Florida. Maybe he'll be back soon and we can just commiserate in the snow in Columbus together.
Yes, that would be the plan. I'm having all positive vibes. Raise the sunshine around me, you know?
There we go. Positive vibes, yes. Only. All right, he's Zach Boren. He's going to have an awesome week. I'm Austin Ward. I'm going to have one too. Thanks for joining us on a Boren Blitz on the beat presented by the Waterworks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.